the New Testament. This is an interesting one. Jesus asking, who do you say that I am? And all four Gospels record this incident. It must have been an interesting moment. It must have really impacted the disciples because they all recall it. It is only in Matthew that Jesus gives Peter the keys to the kingdom. And he calls him Peter, which was Petros, which means rock. Your pastor, the rock. Sometimes I just feel like a rock rolling down the hill, man. Simon Peter, upon this rock I will found my church. That's what he was talking about, that Petros. But he says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Gave rise to a billion jokes about Simon Peter and people trying to get in through the gates. It's the only one that includes this part, that he has the keeper of the kingdom. Don't know. I can't imagine Simon Peter would have all of that knowledge, but I know the Savior does. I know the Son of God sitting at the right hand knows us and is our advocate, and we should be grateful. Enough of the New Testament. I've got to go to the Old Testament passage. That was a long one. Poor Holly had no heads up on it. She said, I don't see two scriptures this morning. I didn't catch it till this morning. So she read that cold, did a great job. Holly, thank you. She's awesome. Most of you knew that passage. Most of you knew that story, that this is the Moses birth narrative. And it's a long reading. We don't often get to read the whole thing because it is long. I mean, it took us, what, you know, 2 or 3 hours to get all the way through that, didn't it? Holly did a great job. But it helps us remember that Moses is the epic hero of the Old Testament. He is the core. He's the central one. And every part of his life is epic. And here it is, this important birth. We need to back up a little bit with some antecedent action. Before this happens, you remember Joseph, second youngest son of Jacob and Rebekah, the baby, the youngest one. But his father loved him more than the other brothers, and they're jealous. And he had a fine coat of many colors, and they decided to kill him. But then they decided they could throw him a pit, let animals eat on him. And then they decided, well, we'll sell him. You remember that, Joseph? And he gets out of the pit, and he gets sold into slavery in Egypt. He goes to Egypt. He's in prison there. He ends up interpreting the dreams of the Pharaoh and becomes the Pharaoh's grand vizier. That's not the term they use in the Bible, but if you are familiar with Disney, he did a movie, The Prince of Egypt. It wasn't Walt, but The Prince of Egypt does a pretty good job of recounting this story of Moses and his growing up. And it is the grand vizier. Joseph becomes the grand vizier. I'm mixing my stories up. Yep. It's one of those mornings. That's a good thing August is almost over. Whoof. But this is Joseph. He becomes the grand vizier. And it's a Cinderella story. It really is, if you think about it. From nothing, a nobody, a Hebrew in prison, to second most powerful in Egypt. But all of that has happened. And our scripture begins, it says, a new Pharaoh arises that does not know God, is not happy with the Hebrews, is threatened by them, in fact. There are too many foreigners, too many. They're going to take over. They're going to change us, the world. They're going to change our lifestyle. It's intriguing we hear some of those words uttered today. But Pharaoh orders the midwives to kill the babies on the birth stool. He has a simple solution. Just go right to the moment of their inception and just bend on the women. Isn't this great? He says, how come the baby, we're not decreasing in babies? How come this isn't being carried out? Oh, the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous. and give birth before the midwife comes to them. I have to just grin, these vigorous Hebrews. Heroic action, though. Pause and think about that a moment. As a midwife, you are called by law to do something that you know is wrong. They commit civil disobedience that could cost them their lives. They do not obey an unjust, uncivil law. They obey God instead of doing an evil thing. This thrills me. I mean, I hear this and I have to just sit back and say, what courage, what core faith. And they are simple, unnamed myriads of women, of midwives, obedient to good, obedient to God. Well, so Pharaoh realizes it's not working and decides, well, I'll make an edict. All of the boys born of the Hebrew women shall be tossed into the Nile. Kill all of the male children. We've heard that story somewhere, haven't we? I mean, it's the wrong season for it, but come December, we'll probably hear that story toward the end of December about Christmas Eve. We'll hear about Herod calling for the death of the children to try and kill Jesus before he can grow. The massacre of the innocents. Pharaoh says, every boy that is born to the Hebrews, you shall throw into the Nile, but you shall let every girl live. Slaves, servants. So Moses' mother, and later we find out her name is Jochebed. It isn't in this scripture, and she isn't named by name here. Women were not named. Isn't that tragic? I mean, there are a lot of wonderful historic women, and they're not named, but it was a sign of the times. Women weren't. They just weren't. But she has Moses, and when he's 3 years old, she could no longer hide him. I had to stop and think about that when I had my kiddos. They made more noise in the first 3 months of their life than they did afterwards. But, you know, she might have had some way of hiding that. But Melissa and her sister Sarah were always crying, it seemed like. Maybe that was just me. She's ignoring me. She's a smart girl, isn't she? So she does an interesting thing, Jochebed. She takes her baby and she makes a tabah. Do we have a slide there, Miss Paya? Tabah. Tabah. I don't know if you can see the Hebrew. I put it up there for those of you that read Hebrew fluently. But it's a tabah. That's the term. It's a basket, a container, a vessel, an ark. Same word. Same word. When Noah, you wondered where Noah was going to fit into all of this, didn't you? I told the Noah joke this morning on purpose. I had to search for that joke, and it was an awful joke. But it's God called Noah to make a tabah, an ark. And God told Noah to make us an arky arky. God told Noah to make me an arky arky. Make it out of gopher barky barky, children of the... Holly, I should have had you up here doing this. Make it out of gopher wood, cypress. That's the ark that Noah's designed. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. That's exactly what we heard her do, isn't it? When here is Jochebed and she takes reeds and she weaves them and then seals it with bitumen and pitch. Same thing. She's making a little ark. Isn't that fun? Arks, ark saving humanity again. And then they put the ark in the water. She's a good mom. She does not trust it just to the current and pray and hope. And I mean, we can pray and hope, but she's a good mom. And so Miriam, Moses' sister, she keeps an eye on the basket. She's hiding there in the background watching, and Pharaoh's daughter is bathing with her entourage. She's unnamed. I explained that a minute ago, didn't I? Important, pivotal women that did important things. She's unnamed, and she sends her maid to get the arky out of the water. She didn't go in herself. Who would expect her to? So she sends her maid, and the maid brings it, and she brings the tabor to Pharaoh's daughter, and when she opened it, she saw the child. He was crying, and she took pity on him. "This must be one of the Hebrew children," she said. Then Moses' sister, Miriam, said to Pharaoh's daughter, who we don't know her name, "Shall I go and get you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" "Why, yes, that's a good idea." "Yes," the daughter says. So the child went and found, it just so happened, a Hebrew woman who could provide as a wet nurse. It was Jochebed, Moses' mother. Don't you just grin from ear to ear the way it just, it's just as if it was a grand design. A grand design indeed. She gave the child to Jochebed and said, "Raise him." And then she named him Moses because I drew him out of the water. Apparently that's what Moses means. I didn't know that. But she raises him until he's weaned. And I didn't remember that particular passage. How old are kids when they're weaned? I looked it up on Wiki. Anywhere from 18 months to 4 years old. Kids weaning can happen anywhere along there. And it isn't an abandonment of the child, it's simply a stopping of nursing the child. So how old do you have to be weaned? I think I know a lot of adults that are not yet weaned. I read about some of those in the paper, it worries me. But it tickles me, here is Jochebed who's going to be raising her birth son in the royal court. It is important to note the Pharaoh's daughter's act. She is unnamed to us, and that's tragic because she does something amazing too. Hers is an act of civil disobedience as well, isn't it? Her father, the Pharaoh, has ordered the death of all of the Hebrew male children. And she disobeys it and takes the child in and raises him as her own. Pharaoh's daughter names him Moses. She names him, drawn out of the water. She saves Moses, doesn't she? No. No, she didn't really save Moses. God did. God draws Moses out of the water. God prospers Moses to lead, to become the great leader of the Old Testament, to lead the people, to become a spokesman for God, to lead the Egyptian people, the Hebrew children, out of captivity, to grow God's community. To grow God's community that one day will grow and stand upon a rock. Upon this rock, this Petros, I will build my church. So today we hear a myriad of stories of God doing God's mighty works for God's people. Amen. Amen.